topic that I'm going to talk, I need parents' help.
Because we talk about suffering church, children may be a little bit kind of not sure. Is it too much for us, like this age, to hear about something is quite heavy. Please, parents, you help your children to explain a little bit about the real world. Okay. Before we look at anything, let us look at a few verses. Can you show a few verses from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39? So let's read those verses together. Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39. Okay. So let's read together slowly. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so let's read another verse. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 is a very familiar verse. And when Jesus was nailed on the cross, and this was the first thing he said. So let's read together Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divide up his clothes by casting lots. So, just remember this, few verses as we go through and share about suffering church. So, before I share, I would like to have to look at some PowerPoint that recently Sumo and I, plus Pastor Lee and another sister from Malaysia, we visit Niger in Africa. So a few pictures come up. So where is Niger? Look at the map. This is kind of somewhere in the middle of Africa, the continent Africa, is south of Sahara Desert. Okay, let's keep moving. Next one. So when we arrived there, that was our home. It's totally gone. So some friends sitting under the tree, and then they greet us when we arrive. Okay, next photo. That was our home. So we have only one toilet and one chimney left, nothing else. Okay, move on. That was our church building. It was taken 2003, April 26th, Saturday. So that was this was our church building. And move the next one. And then after the service, the next one. And this was what happened to the church. They burned it into charcoal. So that was when we went there last month, and that was what we saw. Okay, next one. So the church leaders and us, we took a picture outside the church building. This church building, because they burned from inside, so we don't see much from outside, and it was built with mud anyway, you know, mud won't catch fire. Okay, next one. So when we were there, we spent a lot of time to, you know, to encourage, to meet with the Christians. So that was Sunday, February 28th. I was preaching. So Pastor Isa was translating for me, and then Missionary Gordon translate again, because I preach in French and he translate into Hausa. So Missionary Gordon translate into English, so that, you know, like Pastor Lee can understand what I was talking. Okay, next one. And that was after the service, we took two pictures for the group photo. Those are parents. Okay, next one. And then those are single. They are not yet married. Okay, this is our church. So when we were there, we sleep with mosquito nets. We don't see mosquito, but mosquitoes see us. Okay, alright, next one. So we visit nearby a small desert. It was during the cold season, you know, so that day it was a bit okay, just 102 degrees. Yeah, okay, so next one. No more. Okay, we had 2 minutes of video. That was actually what happened on January 17th when they burned the church and burned our house. Okay, thank you. It wasn't taken by professional photographer.
So we want to be a professional view to the continuum.
But after all, I'm going to have a life so we're forever. Yes?
Still at this.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, why I decide to talk on the topic Suffering Church? Because it was kind of far away for us to read newspaper on the television, to see how Christians suffer in Iraq, in this different part of the world. But it was something very special when our own church was burned down, when our own home was torn down, and Christians suffer, and they face persecution. For us to go to Niger is kind of, you know, something that we heard about other people, not becoming something that happening in our own family. So it's very difficult for us to not to talk about it. And then when I think about suffering, I start looking at the Bible, because before we went to Africa, I tried to find words to comfort them. Okay, what verses to use? I mean, in a very peaceful world like America, we seldom pay attention to those verses talking about suffering, because it seldom happened to us. So it's not, you know, for us in a sense. So we don't really prepare our heart to understand it and to feel it. And so I had a little bit hard time to find verses on suffering, how to encourage brother and sister in Africa. And I found 10 verses and then prepared in French. So I had 10 messages at least to share with them. Not saying that I only find 10 verses, but because my French is so rusty, so I cannot prepare too much. So I just concentrate on 10 verses. When we arrive there, what are we going to do with the suffering Christian? What are we going to say? How do we encourage them? Become a real challenge for us. For me, going there is not like just standing in front and preach a message. Whether you get it or not, doesn't matter. For me, I want to meet them face to face and understand what their feeling is and try to help them to understand why this happened. So brothers and sisters, this is something very real to us. So my plan was go there and encourage them. Before I went, I read a paper written by John Piper, and he mentioned something very significant. He talked about the difference between Islam and Christianity, or Muslim and Christian. The main difference is we Christians, we have Jesus that bear our shame, bear our burden, and die for us. So whenever we have difficulties, we have someone to turn to. We have hope, because God loved us, and then He basically, you know, took away and still takes away our burden, you know, help us to see there is hope. But with Muslim, there is no one, because their Allah is so far away, they have nowhere to find where is Allah when they need. And they don't have anyone like Jesus die for them. So when they suffer, when they were misunderstand, when they were under kind of persecution, they don't know where to turn to. So end up all the Muslims, they use their own way to respond to any kind of frustration, disappointment. So according to John Piper, said that one of the main things that's so different between we Christian and Muslim, because we have Jesus Christ. So I start sharing this with brothers and sisters in Africa. And at the same time, I realized that something happened in the history is so significant in this area. We Christians, basically, the history is made up with a lot of suffering, persecution. You know, starting from the early days in our Christianity history. And then next Friday will be Good Friday, and then Easter next weekend. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He came to this earth. He is not coming to enjoy the life here. He suffered a lot. So when we come to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and onward, we realize that Paul was talking about something that he experienced. It's not something ideology, like, you know, something may happen, so what should we do? He talked about who should separate us from the love of Christ. Then he mentioned about trouble. He mentioned about hardship. He mentioned about persecution. He mentioned about famine. He mentioned about nakedness. He mentioned about danger. He mentioned about sword. Just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From second part of verse 23 and then until the end of the chapter, Paul experienced a lot of hardship, persecution. So he understands, and then he put it very clearly, saying that who can separate us from the love of Christ? So this is the message I would like to bring to the brothers and sisters.
Because what? Because they are in trouble. They face hardship. They face persecution. They face not necessarily famine in the sense like under the persecution, but they did hide in the police station for 5 days and no food because they cannot buy food, they cannot cook there, and they suffer, and they suffer from nakedness. Not necessarily they don't have anything to put on, but they basically run away with one or whatever on what they have. They didn't bring anything, you know, extra clothing. Basically, most of them just ran, and they face danger. So we are going there and sit together with those people. They have been through this kind of persecution. What are we going to tell them? So from the history, I realized that one of the reasons that the European Christianity fell, almost collapsed, because for too long they enjoying a lot of peaceful, a lot of, you know, security, and then they start forgetting about Jesus. They start enjoying the love of Jesus and forgot about Jesus, and then walk their own way for too long, and they got lost. They confess themselves that I'm a Christian, but they may not go to church. They may not, you know, remember how to pray or dare to pray, or, you know, they just become a cultural so-called Christian. And persecution put a Christian in a spot that you are going to die maybe. So if you are going to die today, what are you going to do with your life? How are you going to think about money, the bank account? How are you going to think about your house? How are you going to think about your family? You readjust everything before the Lord, saying that, God, what is the most important thing for me as Christian? What matters the most? Persecution put us into perspective. What do we mean by Christian? Without persecution, we enjoy worship, we enjoy fellowship, we enjoy the love of God. We talk about Jesus died on the cross, and then we talk in the distance, like, wow, years ago this happened, and still true that we believe in it, you know, so far away. And then we start busy with our own life, with our own idea, you know, what is the main thing for my life. Then we, you know, just keep going on and on, and religion or Jesus become something that, you know, when I meet him, I will call him. We seldom really walk with Jesus because, you know, everything is so okay. This happened in the Western world for many, many years, until you see a beautiful church closed down and for sale, for rent. Year 88, when I was in Australia, Melbourne, a similar thing happened. I was so heavy when I was there doing my further study. So one time at the church, pastor asked me to preach, so I said, okay, I'm going to preach this topic. He said, no, you cannot speak on this topic. I said, why not? He said, no pastor preach on that. My topic was, Christian, you don't need to pray anymore. Pastor said, how can you preach on this topic? I said, why not? You just asked a Christian, is it true? Because in Australia, when we were there, I was shocked. Anyone stay there more than 6 months, you go to see doctor without paying anything, it's free. You pay $2.50 for medicine, whatever you and the government will cover. And then, basically, church prayer meeting, people stop praying for health because the medical system is so good. And people stop praying for some other thing because life is so easy. Life is so easy. Australian is a little bit crazy. You know, they are laid-back people. They are good people. And Friday night after 8 o'clock, no supermarket open at the time. Everybody go to the beach and have a long weekend there. They enjoy life. jam the road, and Sunday evening a lot of accident happened because they are all coming back. So I say, why do you need to pray? Is it a ritual? Is it just our obligation to pray? Why do we need to pray? Because just lost perspective. They don't really know. Okay, what for? I mean, with Christ or not, maybe that's important, because at least they may decide whether I go to heaven or hell. But in daily life, do we need Jesus? We don't really. In many sense, that is the feeling of a lot of Christians in Australia at that time. So that's why I preach on that topic. But I realize that in the Christian history, all the persecution, end with revival. End with revival. Because when Christians were persecuted, they think about seriously, sincerely, am I going to trust in Jesus no matter what? So when I look at the picture on the Facebook, on the television, remember in January, 21 Egyptian Christians was put on like a orange or golden orange color, kneel on the ground, and then another group of people put on their black, clothing, and then have some knife or whatever, and they ask the Christian kneeling in front, do you still believe in Jesus? If you say yes, I'll kill you. If you say no, then you accept, Muhammad, you accept Allah, then you become Muslim, then you are safe. I just try to imagine myself as a Christian kneeling in front of these, cruel people. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? If I say, I trust Jesus, then they kill me. That's the end of my life. But if at that time Jesus is in my, the throne of my heart, or my throne, in my heart, then I will say, I believe in Jesus, and you can kill me. But if I feel like my family is the most important, my future is the most important, then I may hesitate. I may say, Lord, you forgive me. I just, lie to them, and then afterward I will pay back. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. Basically, for me, this kind of thinking may enter my mind and try to figure out what to say, what to decide. And from that incident, 21 of them, all of them say, I trust Jesus, and they were killed. That's what matters the most in our Christian life. And then during the suffering time, that put us into perspective, that made us right. So suffering has a mission. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So we need to help, our children, even they may not understand suffering too much, maybe neither the adults also in a sense. But we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves. So brother and sister, that is very important. So when I was in Africa, you saw my preaching. My preaching was so slow because I cannot remember too much the French, so I need to think through. So I just slowly say a few words, and then I'm glad that two people translate for me, so gives me a get there to think about, okay, what next one I want to say, because I forgot a lot of the French. But anyway, I share with them about what happened in China. How many of us here remember, when communists took over China? Basically, all the missionaries were chased out, expelled. And then, churches, buildings closed down. Pastors, some killed, some put in jail. Christians, some killed, some put in jail, or some denied their faith. So from, you know, 50, 60, 70, we as Chinese Christians outside mainland China, basically I thought there won't be any Christian in China. Because the persecution was so severe. Who can stand those kind of persecution? No one. So when I was in Malaysia, I prayed for China. I even wrote a letter to Mao Zedong. I encouraged him to accept Jesus Christ. When I was in primary 6. But I don't know where to send it. So I kept the letter, but I couldn't find it now. Just my heart. Just say, what about China? They are facing, the Christians are facing persecution. We pray for them, but what? What happened? I mean, who can stay? Who can survive that kind of persecution? Not just one day, not just one incident, not only one year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Until when China still open, the majority of Chinese people in China, they were influenced by the communist ideology and they thought there is no God. So I thought that's normal. I mean, this is a reasonable result. But in the 80s, 90s, and then we start hearing there are a lot of Christians in China, millions. Then talking about 10 million, talking about maybe more than that, 70 million, and someone say maybe up to 100 million now. We don't know the exact number. So I share with the Christian in Africa, I say, look, suffering revives his church, and God is responsible for keeping, preserve people. So that when we feel like we cannot stand anymore, and yet God is doing something, you know, just unexpectable. It's just God is in control. So that was so encouraging. So I asked the Christian in Gure saying that if this is a pattern, if this is the way that God is doing, you know, his own work, doing his business, after persecution usually come with revival. So what are you going to do if God is going to bless you and see many Muslims turn to the Lord? What are you going to do? You need to prepare yourself to be part of this, you know, revival, part of this God's kingdom, this is, you know, the just miraculous work. So I encourage them. So brothers and sisters, I believe that when many of them, they are on the way to burn the church, at the beginning, they say that around 500 people. And then many of them following the 500 people. Some of them, they are just bystanders, they didn't involve in. Some of them, they stood far away and using the cell phone to take pictures. So just like now, you don't see a lot because the person was scared, you know, so he or she was standing far away and take the video. And then when they move to our compound, from our church to our compound, it's like here walking to Happy China. I mean, no car on the road, so it's very safe. The crowd grew up to 2,000 people. So the police run away. The soldiers run away because they cannot stop this group. So when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them. Who are they? Many of them, they were welcoming Jesus to come into Jerusalem a few days ago. And they become the same group of people shouting and not knowing what they are shouting. Nail him on the cross, nail him on the cross. So this is exactly the same thing. When the evil one, you know, start walking, a lot of people not sure what is happening, but they just join in. So I encourage the Christian in Africa saying that, please don't hate anyone. Don't think about revenge. Think about how to love them. Think about how to share Jesus Christ with them. Think about forgiving and pray for them. Accept them as before. And they will know that the love of Christ Jesus manifests through Christian. And they will see that this is a true religion. And they will see that there is truth in Christian, in Jesus Christ. And many of them may come to know Jesus and accept Jesus Christ. So I say, through this persecution, we have a great commission. Get ready and to share with many, many of the Muslim friends. And pray that the church is doing it now. So when I talk about persecution, we are not saying that, you know, we may be persecuted. But at the same time, who knows? You know, someone that may be crazy enough, radical enough, to bring a bomb and come to join our English service this morning. And Pastor Tom will say, wow, praise the Lord, we have someone new. We welcome this person. And then this person stand up and introduce herself or himself, and boom, and kill a lot of us. I mean, things like that happen in America. Who can say it won't happen? We pray that it won't happen. But who can tell? So, brother and sister, persecution put us into perspective. Ask ourselves, who are we? What do we mean by being Christian? So this is the message I would like to share with you. Let us pray together. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and bear our burden and bear our shame. That Jesus Christ went through all kinds of hardship, even persecution, even dead on the cross. And we know that Jesus understands. So please help us as we follow you, even though we are in a very peaceful, free environment, just help us and ask ourselves, if we need to make a choice, what is the most important in our lives? If we were one of the 21 kneeling down on the floor and have a group of people behind us want to kill us if we confess Jesus is our Lord, what are we going to do, Lord? Just help us be sincere Christian. Prepare our heart to serve you no matter where. We just want to thank you because through persecution you are going to revive your church and your name will be highly lifted up. No matter where, we want to thank you because of your love, because nothing will separate us from Christ's love. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.